What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Hey, Mr. Kata!
Mr. Kata, indeed. And we are here with the first episode. We are back.
Season two.
Back, season two, coming at you. We are back with the first episode of the new season of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. And I've missed basketball, Paul. How about yourself?
I'm so happy it's back, especially after the Chargers season.
Yeah, the Chargers are terrible, and we're in that like weird. We got through that weird part of the summer where baseball is like winding down, and football is just kind of getting started, and everyone's kind of twiddling their thumbs, waiting for something else to happen, and that something else is basketball. So it is here.
Yeah.
Last time we talked to you all was after Vegas Summer League.
Yeah.
And there's been some happenings with the Suns since then.
A little bit. Not as much as the rest of the league. It was a busy summer for the league. I mean, the Suns were rather quiet, which was expected and, you know, kind of hoped for. But there was definitely some stuff going on this.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting off season. And I don't know, is there anything in particular you want to actually bring up about that, or can we just talk about the Suns here? Is there anything you really want to get off your chest about the off season and the NBA in general?
Nothing okay. More than just the Western Conference's gauntlet.
Just want to make sure I give you your platform, my friend.
I have it right here.
Right.
I'll take it when I'm ready for it.
Oh, this guy comes back all fiery this year. Okay.
Feisty.
We're one game, or I guess two games now, through the preseason, the shortened preseason. Second game tonight wasn't on. First game, preseason game,
yeah,
things you expected. But before we get into that, let's talk about a couple things that have happened during the offseason, I believe, since we last spoke. That are Suns related. First thing is Alex Len. Let's go Alex Len first, signing that qualifying offer.
Yeah, that was... Once we saw how the offseason shook out, that was pretty much the expected result. It was not the expected result after last offseason,
right,
just because everything went crazy and guys who were about Len's level got paid.
Right.
And it's a whole different market now, and it'll be interesting to see how it cycles through in like coming years. But yeah, I think he's on a prove-it year, and hopefully he takes the opportunity and proves it. And if he does, I wouldn't hate the Suns keep bringing him back, but I wouldn't also wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of pissed off that they didn't give him an extension when he was up.
Right.
And he's like, screw you guys, I'm out.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's you hit the nail on the head in that we can go back to, what, the beginning part of last year, even the middle part of last year, when the presumption was Alex Len was going to get paid this offseason, no matter what really happened, just because of what happened the previous offseason. And I feel kind of bad for the guy because he's like 1 year late on just becoming super rich without having to prove anything.
Yeah,
exactly. But then again, you know, he still signed a $4.2 million qualifying offer, which, you know, it's more money than most of us are seeing. So,
yeah, but it could have been 80.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does this year because, like you said, it's a prove it year. He has to go out and earn that money now.
He has to earn playing time.
Yeah, he has to earn playing time first. Then he has to earn the money.
Right.
If he wants to get that big contract. And, I mean, we can talk a little more detail about the games that we've seen so far, or the game we've seen so far, and the box score we've seen in the other game. But based on this small sample size in the preseason, he's looking like he recognizes that he needs to make some major improvements. And, you know, Suns got to keep him. They got to keep him cheap. And there's really, you know, it's a win-win for the Suns in that it's not costing them a lot. And if he works out, great. And if we can keep him and he's worth keeping, great. But if not, you know, you got a year out of him and you got a cheap year out of him.
Yeah, and it's not a huge contract. So if they choose to kind of move away from him, whether it's because they want Chandler on the court from the standpoint of having that veteran leadership there, or they really want to give those minutes to the guys that they're actually still trying to develop in Bender and Chris, if he rides the bench, he rides the bench. I mean, it's a movable contract, but granted, he does have a no trade clause
based on it
being a qualifying offer. Is no trade clause because if he's traded, he loses bird rights.
Ah, I gotcha.
So
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll worry about that once. Well, how about we at least wait till the regular season starts before we worry about trading anybody?
Well, I don't know.
I know you. I know you. Like trades.
McDonough traded Gortat like right before the season started.
This is kind of like his sweet spot trading wise. So we'll see.
You know, actually gets to see how his players work, and he's like, "Nah, we need something here."
Right.
Speaking of trades,
go on.
We did make
Troy
a trade.
Troy Daniels?
Yeah.
That's the next one that I was on my list, so well done,
I
Paul.
Know.
Working
on these transitions.
Yeah. It's like,
and then we flub it.
It's like you read my mind is really what it was. It's just that.
We did pre-show prep, which is new for us, too.
But see, here's the thing. Is I wrote it down in a different order, and then I started in a different order, but you still went in the order that I was going to go to it in my mind, but it's not written on paper that way. So, like, it's that deep. Okay. So, now that we got that out of the way, Troy Daniels... Go on.
I think it's a classic McDonough deal.
Devin Booker's best friend.
Devin Booker's best friend. not caring about the locker room with the deal is a classic McDonough move.
No, because reports have said that McDonough, the front office, went to Booker before.
I'm kidding.
To clear it. So.
Right. I get it. I completely.
Don't you dare badmouth Ryan McDonough. Don't you dare.
He's
gone.
Anyways, they traded a highly protected second round pick.
Which seems hilarious to me. Like, I mean, you think about protections, you think first round. Second round's like, oh, whatever. Like, here,
yeah,
here you go.
They protected it to 55, I think.
That is heavy protection.
They protected it to 55, got back Troy Daniels. And got a second round pick.
Right, exactly. So they, in all likelihood, got a better pick.
Yeah, because it's...
But I guess they could still just keep their pick anyway. Do they keep it?
They will keep their pick if it's anything less than 55.
That's weird.
Yeah, And I think the protections on the pick from Memphis is they have three second round picks this coming season.
Okay.
Via other trades, and we get the middle one.
Okay.
Those are the specifics of it. So is it.
I feel like this is more conversation than I've ever cared to have in my life about protecting second round picks.
Yeah. But anyways, we literally got him for nothing. The ability to pay his contract.
Which isn't a big contract.
No.
He signed before last season, he signed a 3-year, $10 million deal. So he's got 2 years left at 3.3 with a line on top of it, million dollars per year. So, yeah, I mean, it's affordable, especially a team that had to make a trade last year to hit the salary floor.
Yeah.
So, but, and he's been performing quite well so far.
He has.
In preseason, you know.
Him and Len have been a nice little off-the-bench tandem.
Little surprises, I tweeted out after the first game, I'm like, now Devin Booker, I think, allows Troy Daniels to speak to him. Because remember after the game, he was like, why is he even talking to me? He's been on, I think he said 5 teams in 3 years, but it was 4 teams in 3 years.
Now it's 5 teams in 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. So he's almost made me like almost a little Nostradamus type action there by Booker. But, you know, Daniels, I think you mentioned before we started recording, he's shooting 57% from 3-point range in these first 2 games and preseason. I'll keep saying that. I'll keep following like every compliment with preseason.
Yeah.
But... He's still 57% from 3-point range, and it's not like he's taken five of them.
In game,
yeah. So
yeah, he's taken 17 in 2 games. So
if he keeps up some level of production like that, and you know whatever minutes he ends up contributing in the regular season,
definitely be a solid part of the rotation.
Could very well end up being a fantastic pickup by McDonough. But you know, time will tell because. Preseason.
It's the rivalry between him and Booker that just pushes him to a new level.
Maybe it'd push both of them. I'm pumping my fist in anticipation and expectation. So yeah, I think that was a good move. And again, we'll see how that ends up playing out. But when you look at the backcourt, you know, obviously they've got Mike James that they brought in on a 2-way deal. You know, you've got Bledsoe, obviously, you've got Booker there. You've got Ulis there, and you had Troy Daniels, and since you're one down this year with Brandon Knight
and Davon Reed.
Oh yeah,
so
that's right.
Down.
Davon Reed is
that's why they brought him in because Reed's
out
down.
To what February or so,
something
like that.
It's a while.
So
and being that he's a young guy, they might depending on where the team is, just leave him out for the season rather than rush him back.
Right. Why bother, especially trying to integrate a kid into a team that late in the season when he's missed time running and practicing.
Risk re-injuring
him. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, I think a savvy move by McDonough is something that, you know, he's had his misses, but I like to think for the most part he's hit on things that he's been doing since he's been the Suns GM. Certain situations which we don't necessarily need to discuss. Yes, I'm following the Boise State BYU game on my phone, Paul. A friend of mine has a vested interest in it, so don't worry about it.
I was just trying to see what game it was.
It's one of the biggest college matchups of the year, Boise State BYU. Come on.
I know. But I saw the 7, and we also got the Diamondbacks game on the TV, and then I got confused on the other score.
Yeah, the number on the other side of the 7 in this game is much larger than in the Diamondbacks game right now, unfortunately. But hey, you know what? Game one. I'm not worried about it. So, off of Troy Daniels.
Off of Troy Daniels.
On to TJ Warren.
TJ got paid.
Tony Buckets.
He's officially part of the timeline. I know that was a hashtag the timeline.
Hashtag the timeline. was there a question as to whether or not he was because he could. Josh Jackson coming in.
Exactly.
TJ Warren might be on his way out in some sort of way.
Yeah, because the discussions on Suns Twitter over the summer was kind of the timeline pretty much started with Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Or like that's how everybody was treating it is Booker, Chris, Bender, Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's like the core four. And people were thinking that Warren would be the expendable one, particularly because he overlapped with Jackson. But clearly he's not being considered expendable. I think whether he's going to end up being like a scorer off the bench or they're going to play small and he's going to play alongside these guys, we'll see how it develops. But I think I'm happy that he's sticking around. He is a pure scorer, and he just has a touch that he's able to find that.
Right. Like if they decide to go with a bunch of starting lineups this year with Jackson and Warren starting like they did tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm expecting that's not going to happen a whole lot. But who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, he got a 4-year, $50 million deal. $12.5 million a year in this NBA age is not a lot of money, especially for a guy who's young, who's shown a propensity to score. Just got to hope he stays healthy. And
he really improved his rebounding last year. Mm-hmm. Like second half of the season, I think once he came back from that injury, he was doing like 7 a game from a small forward spot, which is pretty solid.
Right. And you know, he's drawn a lot of comparisons to Sean Marion, because of his knack for scoring.
Right.
You gave me a weird look right there. Let me finish my thought before you think I'm crazy. Because he is one of those guys that it doesn't seem like, you know, they drop plays for him, but he gets the ball and he gets the ball in the hoop.
Right.
And that's something that I think is obviously valuable to a team. And I think ultimately, long run, he's going to be an incredibly valuable piece off the bench. I don't think he's going to be starting because I think Josh Jackson is going to win the starting job over him.
Yeah,
Warren might start
because he
coming
balances
out of the year,
with
but
Booker.
Yeah, exactly. He balances with Booker, and I just think that Josh Jackson's going to be a better player. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I have a gigantic man crush on Josh Jackson. Have you heard that? And both of them, by the way, Pacey and our Josh Jackson.
Yes,
Joshua and Josh.
I'm still planning on getting that custom Suns jersey that says
Pacey on it,
or I'm thinking about getting Conway.
Please do. I will make fun of you till the end of time for that.
Pacey or Conway?
Both. Maybe you should get two of them. Get a home and away.
Hey.
I mean, if you're going to go in, go all in, bro. Don't like half-ass it here. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Warren's he's a great piece on this team. As long as he can stay healthy, like I said. And
right.
He gets right back into concussion protocol tonight.
Yeah.
And for a guy who is out for how many games? However long
it was a while.
Four weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it was last year. Yeah, with the Ryan McDonough, we can't tell you what it is, but trust
because
us, he's fine. I was like, oh, okay, that's a little disconcerting. But
yeah, we'll tell you every other injury a player has, but this one, no.
Right. And you know, him being on concussion protocol right now sounds like a fluky thing that happened up in Utah.
Yeah.
So it's by no means am I trying to say it has anything to do with that whole thing in the past, and I'm going to assume he's
right. But well,
wasn't the play
when he went into whatever that was, wasn't that a fluky play in Indiana? And then he was out, that everybody thought he was fine, and then he was out.
Oh,
for
you mean what started the head thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he probably at some point during that went into concussion protocol too, I would guess. But so hopefully it doesn't spiral into that again, because that again, would be very disconcerting. But overall, I think that, you know, these three moves, and I'll call Alex Len a move, even though, like, it wasn't really a Suns-controlled move. I mean, of course, you're going to give the guy the qualifying offer and just see what happens.
Right.
But having Len there, getting Troy Daniels and, you know, locking up T.J. Warren for a while here is I think, going to, you know, prove the latter two more so than Len, because I don't know that I'm too confident that Len's going to be around next year.
Yeah.
In the very least, Troy Daniels and T.J. Warren give, you know, some solid pieces on this team for the next 2 and 4 years. What about the first preseason game? Since we didn't watch the second preseason game, any thoughts on the first preseason game and what you saw?
It was about what I expected. I thought
they go down by 20 and then come storming back with the bench in the fourth quarter and preseason to win the game.
Well, I mean, up to the scrubs coming.
Whoa.
I don't know if I want to call them scrubs.
Whoa.
End of the bench, guys.
Words hurt, Paul.
End of the bench, guys. Coming in near the end of the game and having that comeback against Portland's scrubs.
I can call them
scrubs.
Forget them.
I thought the starting lineup played well. I thought they hung with Portland to the all right. I mean, they were in it, and I just thought our second unit kind of gave it away in that game. I just don't think Bender kind of got eaten alive a little bit by Nurkic.
Bender.
So that didn't help, and I think Ulis had some troubles defensively against Lillard and McCollum and their point guards. So it wasn't the best showing from the bench, that the expected bench. But I think this season it's really about just getting those guys more exposure and minutes.
Yeah.
So like, I don't really expect a lot from Bender right now because he's basically a rookie, and he's still the youngest
he's
guy
still
on
19,
the team.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not 20 yet still, right?
Right. Yeah.
God, that's ridiculous. Such a kid.
Yeah, he's still the youngest guy on the team. So, and he's still trying to figure out his game. We saw it this summer in Eurobasket. He's...
the dog with the drinking. I feel like it's every few episodes she has to drop in and be like, I'm going to slurp this water super loud for the next minute while you guys are talking. Sorry, go ahead. I'm easily distracted.
Anyway, now I'm distracted to get all the thoughts straight.
You were talking about Bender and he's still young.
Yeah, he's young. He's young and trying to
figure out where to go.
Figure out where he's going to go. Trying to figure out his body still. I mean, obviously he needs to gain some more weight to be able to kind of hold his own down there on the block, and they're still trying to figure out where he plays. And once he gets more time, I think we'll be able to start seeing those skills and that potential kind of solidify when, you know, because it's at a certain point, there's your natural talent, but you need reps to know how to use it.
Right.
And that's just kind of what I don't think he has yet. And I'm hoping he'll get this season.
I'm hoping he will too. Yeah. I watching him play the other night, at least his shot, it didn't give me happy feelings when I saw it.
Yeah, it's very flat.
It's still flat. I feel like it looked better during summer league, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just misremembering, if you will. But yeah, I mean, that's one thing that he certainly needs to work on. But you know, yeah, I think again, 19 years old, moved over from halfway across the world, and there's a lot of different things that he needs to kind of acclimate himself to, and mm-hmm. it's going to be a process. So I'm not stoked about where things are right now, but I'm not worried necessarily.
I'm not giving up yet.
Right, by any means. Yeah, I mean, give up is a much stronger word than
anybody's
used so far.
There are people who are like busts.
I don't like them.
I don't either.
Now,
and
talk to
like,
me in like 2 months. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, and I mean, centers in particular are one of those types of players that take longer to develop in the NBA. So, and we're looking at an extremely young guy playing a position that it takes a while to develop at,
mm-hmm.
because it requires your body. You got to grow into your body both physically and mentally. And that takes time.
I feel like we're getting deep here.
We are.
Physically and mentally, you have to grow into your body. Just be yourself. Be free. Bender, like, gets up in the morning, like, gives himself self-affirmations in the mirror. Gives himself self-affirmations. That was a bit much.
There's yoga.
Speaking of shots, I feel like Josh Jackson's been shooting pretty well so far this this preseason.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. That little hitchy jumper, I think those folks out there who bitch about the hitch are gonna learn to love the hitch, because I don't think it's going anywhere. But
he took some deep threes in that first preseason game,
mm-hmm.
Taking them with confidence. I think he was 1 for 2 this
He was one
tonight?
For two tonight. I think he was 2 for 3 in the first game.
He was 2 for 3 in the first game. Yeah, he hit two and then missed, I think, kind of, I don't know if it was a wild one or it was like end of the shot clock one or
something. And just, you know, we kind of look at Jackson, especially coming in as one of those guys who you're going to kind of see as being an all-around type of player. You know,
yeah.
He's got handles. Questions he's about his shots, which obviously I disagree with vehemently. Okay, vehemently might be a little strong, but I feel like everyone's concern was overblown about it. And he has a knack for scoring, but he was kind of going to be one of those all-around players. And, I mean, you look at his box score tonight, 11 points, 5 for 9 shooting, 8 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, 5 fouls. But, you know,
what's the turnovers?
4 turnovers. Yeah. The Suns, this is something that I think they had a lot of turnovers first game. They had 24 tonight. Again, preseason. Yeah. But, you know, I like to think that this is kind of a small showing of what Jackson's going to do consistently and continue to prove on throughout his career. Because I think, and there was a survey that I think was on ESPN perhaps recently that asked NBA GMs or NBA personnel who they think is going to end up being the best player out of this draft 5 years from now. And I think Josh Jackson got the most votes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. And Justin said, number one on my board back in January.
Number one in your heart?
Number one in my heart back in November or something. I don't even know. But, yeah, so I'm stoked to get to watch Josh Jackson play on this team this year.
Yeah,
like,
it's
going
to be a lot
stoked.
Of fun. Nice to have a guy who plays above the rim like that.
Speaking of fun, did you happen to see, I just saw this on Brightside, Keith wrote, had an article about this, but I guess, I want to say it was Zach Lowe, did a ranking of the NBA teams from the most fun to the least fun to watch.
Oh, yeah,
league
pass rankings, yeah. Yeah, that's a recurring article.
Did you see where the Suns were?
The Suns were pretty low, they were like 27?
27th.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a homer, but that seems kind of low?
Yeah, but didn't he bad?
Well, you can't
bad
you can't
teams.
Put them at 27. Oh, okay, go on. Let me go finish your thought. Before
I'm saying, having read his rankings the last couple years, it's not that easy to have teams that are expected to be as bad as the Suns are expected to be very high in the league pass rankings. There are teams. There's the fun bad teams, but I can see his argument that the Suns aren't a fun bad team yet, but they may be, and I'm hoping they prove him wrong.
But there can also be not fun good teams, right?
Yes,
okay.
Like the Spurs.
Like the Spurs. Go on. I mean, yeah, that was an agreeing what? No, I still think. I mean, you get a guy that scored 70 points in a game last year. You've got Marquese Chris, who might kill somebody on the court someday. You've got Josh Jackson, who
can jump out of the gym.
Yeah, and plus his fro's just fun to look at, like, period.
And you
like,
got tiny little Tyler Ulis running around,
yeah,
running
like
through
Mighty
people's
Mouse.
Legs.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, like, every few games, like, the Suns broadcast will show that YouTube video of them imitating Tyler Ulis' defense. That's hilarious. So I just think there's...
You got airplane mode. Don't forget airplane mode.
Yeah, exactly. You got Eric Bledsoe, who still has blocked me on Twitter. I have no idea why.
You should go ask him at the gym.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. If he ever hears this, his kid does gymnastics with my kid. Not like at the same gym, but they were at the same meet. I was telling Sarah before we left to come record. I was like, oh, my friend Eric's not going to be at the meet tomorrow because, you know, he's up in Utah tonight. And she looked at me like I was an idiot, which I am, which is fine. But yeah, I think there's a lot of, while the team as a whole has not come together to become a successful team yet, I think the pieces are all, not all, but a lot of them are pieces that can be very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I mean, if Brandon Knight was healthy, you could watch how horribly he could do in a game, which can be entertaining, even though, you know, it's still fun.
How quickly can he turn a lead
into a 15-point deficit? That was mean. I feel like I don't need, like, he's down enough right now. I'm pretty sure he's not going to know I said that or care if he did.
But we don't need to put those vibes out.
You know what? I take it back. My best wishes to Brandon Knight, of course. I hope he recovers fully. Anything else, Paul? Any other thoughts? I mean, they're kind of light on stuff because, you know, we're still in the preseason.
I have one more thought because we diverted before I could come back to it. But what do you maybe a little early to talk about it, but what do you think Jackson's odds are at Rookie of the Year? Do you think he's got a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a chance, but I mean, like, how, like...
By definition, he's a rookie, and he's going to play basketball, he has a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance!
So you're telling me there's a chance.
But I mean, like, realistically, because I mean, I think Lonzo has best odds right now, which... Yeah. Because, I mean... I feel like Fultz and Simmons are going to split votes.
I think Simmons is who I... If I had to say who I would pick... I would go with Simmons, or as I hedge against myself already. The thing with Simmons is he's already has, even though he didn't play, at least a year exposed
to the NBA world. Yeah. So he's got.
And then I would also look, if I wasn't going to go Simmons, I would look Jason Tatum only because he at this point has a more refined offensive game.
My knock on Tatum is he's playing on a contending team. How much are they going to integrate a rookie into their system when they already have other young players like Jaylen Brown, who is only a second year player in that system, and they've got Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all playing the same position essentially. Because they don't have shooting guards, so they're playing like two small forwards.
Yeah, I was gonna say they'll find the minutes, but I don't know if
it'll be enough to he could be productive as part of that team, but I don't think it'll be enough to really get him in the Rookie of the Year. Really get him in the Rookie of the Year conversation.
I won't agree with that, but not saying it couldn't possibly be right at some point in the future, but yeah. I'm not going to agree with it right now.
I'm just thinking.
I think they're going to get him time. I think he's going to play enough where if he performs well enough in that playing time, he will very much be in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And that's coming from someone who was hoping Boston would take him because I'd rather have Jackson over him because I think long-term Jackson would be better.
I didn't want Tatum because he's maybe a rich man's Tony Buckets, hopefully. Like, I think that's what he's projected to be.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So
that'd be fine by me.
Yeah, but having two of them?
No, I mean that would be fine by me if Tatum ends up being a rich man's Tony Buckets, because that would show that taking Jackson was in fact the right move, assuming Jackson turns into what I expect him to, which I know he will, because I'm not wrong about this stuff.
No.
Just never.
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 Let's see. You are omnipotent?
I'm trying to think when I was wrong about something like this. Nope, can't think of a time.
There was that one, what was it, like 2006?
You're going way back.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. I'm like, maybe I said something. And Paul's like, I've been waiting 11
that
years.
One time.
Finally, I have my moment.
One time you were wrong, and it was just, you had somebody's last name incorrect.
So, okay, well, on that note, one thing we should mention as well, Brightside Night.
It was a lot of fun last year.
Great
cause.
Sending some underprivileged kids to see the Suns. This year it's on November 19th against the Bulls. I think it's a $17 donation gets a ticket. Is that right? I think it's $17 this year.
Is it $17 this year?
I believe so. And I believe also the same thing goes as last year, where if you buy ten, so $170, you'll get two tickets to the game that day as well, that night. I think if you buy 20 or something like that, you get lower bowl tickets. I feel like Dave said that.
I have to look the rules. It's been a while since I looked at the email.
And then last year we had the meet and greet before the game for those people who did do that donation and got the ticket with Ryan McDonough, where he sat down and answered questions for like half an hour or so,
very
which
honestly,
was pretty interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, which was also where we got the, we can't tell you what's wrong with Tony Bucks's head, but he's okay. He'll be okay. Which was a cool experience. And I think, again, based on my recollection, Dave is waiting on confirmation as to whether that'll happen again. But if it does, again, great time. Even if it doesn't, still a great cause. $17 or $170 or however the heck much you want to donate. I know I'll be doing it. I'm sure Paul will be doing it. And there it is. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
So before we bid adieu, Paul, any final thoughts as we slowly creep a little bit closer to the beginning of the regular season?
I'm just looking forward to real basketball starting.
So looking forward to real basketball starting. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. So on that note, as always, you can catch me on Twitter at So Says Jay, and Paul
at Dervish of Whirl.
Dervish of Whirl. And until next time, which maybe will be next week, you're out of town.
Yeah, I'm out of town.
This guy's going to San Diego, just, you know. Family vacay. So until next time, regardless of when that is, depending on when you're listening to us, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
Later.